Hello, and welcome to Documenta and Son, being the adventures of a dad who's gay and a son who is figuring shit out. My name is Documenta Barbarism, more Xanadu and less Grey Gardens.
And I'm Tingle Mary. I sold Sinks to my dad, and I haven't looked back since.
That was stupid.
No, there's a reason to it. Let me explain. It's to open up with, I have a cold, so if I sound a little bit more low tone or nasally, that's why.
Got it.
And also, I sold Sinks to you.
That's true, you did. It was such a proud and wonderful moment in my life. I guess we're just jumping right in, talking about your job.
Yeah, because I'm the most important one in the group here.
How's it been? So you've worked twice now.
Yes.
Your first job ever.
Yes.
You were anxious as shit leading up to it.
So very.
At every step of the way, really.
Yeah, exactly. And it's led to a sentence I never thought I'd have to say. I carded my dad.
That's true. You did card me by law.
Yeah, I'm by law required to card everyone for tobacco or alcohol products.
Yeah, but then you sold me a soft pack, so, you know. God, it's a learning curve.
Yes, it is.
But now, I mean, we're both idiots, because I was like, I don't think that's right. I was like, oh, boy.
Talking about the cold, by the way.
I was like, okay, I want a pack of Marlboro Lights, but... And so you're like, so I pointed, you're like, these ones? I was like, yeah. And I was like, something seems off. I can't figure out what it is. Because I felt like they usually reached for the higher ones. So I was like, compare it to the size of the ones above. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm like, hold it up to those ones up there. And they were the same size. So I was like, oh, must be okay. But then we realized that it was soft pack, which makes sense. Because you probably before that day didn't even know that there was such a thing as soft or hard packs, right?
I still don't know what the difference is.
Soft pack is just like soft paper. Hard pack is like cardboard.
Are the SIGs different?
No, it's the same price. It's the same. To be honest, I don't really know why soft packs exist either. I guess some people just prefer them. I think maybe that's how they used to be a lot. I don't know. I've never understood it because then it seems like the cigarettes would more easily get smushed and bent and stuff. It might be cheaper.
It probably is. And it's probably more environmentally friendly or something.
I don't know. Paper and cardboard, is there a difference?
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so how's the job going?
It's going great. The majority of my time there is spent up just doing the training modules that they have us do electronically. It's tray boring, but other than that, I ring up customers. I go when there aren't any customers in line. I just walk around the store and make sure all the items are in the right place and looking all nice and whatnot. We call that process facing, by the way.
How much of the store do you have to cover? The whole store?
The whole store.
You don't get assigned sectors? By
no, because I work the later shifts. I just work after school, right? And at that point, there's very few people there, as well as very few employees. So we basically just do the whole thing all ourselves.
Is one person assigned to the front, like the cashier, or do you all just take turns?
At times, it's like, yeah, you will be the register person for this period of time. But if I'm like way in the back facing and then someone else sees someone come to the cashier, they'll go and do the transaction.
Got it. Cool. Yeah. Well, I was amazed that they had you start helping people the very first night. That's great.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
But it seems like it's going to be a really good fit.
Oh, yeah. It's mostly pretty chill, too. And especially because I'll be going like two closings. So the last like hour and especially the last half hour, will probably just be me reading a book or something.
Yeah, that was really how I got through all of my minimum wage jobs was by reading. It'll be interesting. You'll need to see. People often don't know what to make of a book just because it's so rare to see someone reading a book.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's different now that people have phones. I don't know. But
no, yeah, phones are big. My coworkers.
Yeah, that's what everyone does. Everyone spends all their time on a phone when they're not actively doing something else.
That or buying stuff.
Yeah. But I've had people would always be like, either just like so mystified that I would be sitting at work reading a book, like when there was nothing else going on, you know? I remember that once this one asshole teenager like stole my book while I was working, I think, and stapled all the pages together. He was like,
why?
I don't know. He was threatened by a book. Who knows? People just get weird. So it'll be interesting to see if you do start taking books to see how people react to it. I don't know. There's just some strange visceral reaction people have to books. In fact, there was this viral tweet going around this week where some asshole said something like, if you bring a book to a bar I can't remember what it was, but so the whole point was like, don't bring a book to a bar or you're an asshole, which is crazy. And then the best response was someone said to them, what percentage of your life would you say, well, no, how much of your life as a percentage is spent gesturing at women to take out their earbuds? earbuds, I guess. Earbud is the dog. The sports related dog series on home video from Disney.
No, we need earbuds, AirPods. They're like the same coloring and everything.
Earbuds, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so yes, there's something, especially now. I wonder if now books are maybe like vinyl, though.
No, yeah, it's. Before, it was just entertainment and fun and life to read books, like back in my day. and now it's like you're cool and you're edgy because you read a book.
Sort of, but also no one's ever really liked reading books. So,
I do like reading very specific genres. Yes, lots of
people do, but it's always been a niche. Probably more so now than maybe 50 years ago, but it's kind of a niche.
Weird.
Activity. Yeah, I know. I think high school ruins it for a lot of people.
That's true.
Ruins reading, makes it unfun.
That's true.
I don't know. Anyway, who cares? This isn't the reading podcast.
There is a reason my English teacher provides audiobook versions of all the books we read.
They do? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They've just given in. They know that that might be the only way that people will...
They still require everyone to, like, take and have a physical copy, but you could just listen to the audiobook version.
Oh, that is wild.
Yeah.
I guess that's good. I guess at some point you have to say if this is the only way that to get them
to work. Yeah.
It's sad, but also I guess whatever works.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a preference of like, okay. What I'm trying to say is, do you not like the concept of audiobooks?
Oh, no. It's not that I don't like them. I just feel defensive of reading as a whole, like just the act of reading. I just don't understand. I've never understand. No, I shouldn't say that. It's not that I don't understand the appeal. I get like, I've listened to a lot of audiobooks, podcasts, things like that.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you're driving or something, or if you're somewhere where you can't be like holding a book, then it's perfect.
But for example, Facing the Aisles.
Facing the Aisles?
Yeah, like the aisles of items. Just say like, I meant to say items.
Facing, as in like, right.
but aisles works too. Continue.
Well, I was like picturing an aisle on an airplane. I don't know. But I also get that books are heavy and take up a lot of space. Yeah. And as the amount of time of my life spent as a percentage lugging books from one place to the next is quite high. So yeah. I get it. But there's just something about the heft of a book, about the smell of the paper, about the experience. There's something auratic, as in like having an aura about the experience. Oh, you know, okay, there's an ineffable quality to the experience that I think is so. It's not that it's important. It's not. I don't want to place these things in a hierarchy because sometimes that can get a bit too reactionary. But for me personally, there's just no substitute for that. I've never understood how someone could prefer Kindle or audiobooks over a book.
Yeah. I mean, I think I do prefer normal books as well, but I also am fine with the audiobook revolution because it's a new way for people, possibly a better way for some people to engage in the cult, in literature, right?
Totally, yeah.
And but also, I need the audiobook exclusives to stop and get all audiobook exclusives into print, please, because I do not want to listen to the Brandon Sanderson short stories that I want to listen to.
Oh, they're audio exclusive?
He has like 7 audiobook exclusives on Audible, and they're all in series that I really enjoy.
Are they all in series that I really enjoy?
I already prefaced this by saying I have a cold, by saying that I sold you 6. I thought we'd been over this.
Doesn't mean I can't make fun of you for it. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that is annoying.
I think he has a deal with Audible or something.
I'm sure everyone has a fucking deal with Audible these days.
Even the podcasters.
Yeah, when do we get our deal with Audible?
What the heck? Or Squarespace? Squarespace, where you at? Manscaped?
Yeah. Yeah, it increases accessibility. Yes, definitely. Anything that does that is great. Sure. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about books anymore. Let's talk about plant-based diets. Although, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking we should update it, but then I realized we talked about it, but then just left it and have never... It's just sort of there.
Like, well, yeah, we were going to talk about it last episode,
but have we forgot. Have you come to some sort of conclusion that we haven't already discussed, like, off mic?
Not really, no. It's... I'm still leaning towards the... You do you, I'm a stick over here with my Chesburgers.
But, got it. Well, anyway, we need to talk about it some more, because I think you're still thinking of it as all or nothing.
Yeah.
And anyway, go back if you haven't heard that yet. We were talking about the possibility of going plant-based, and it was about the worst thing that Dingleberry had ever heard in his life.
No,
he shouted, he screamed, he cried, he rent his clothing.
It was pretty similar to whatever Dad tells me I can't play on the computer in a day. When I can't play video games.
I wish I had the sound clip ready to...
If you...
I've got it right you here.
You play the... No, can no, no, absolutely not. I am going to quit this podcast. Oh,
come on. It's so cute. Oh, I've got it right here. Can I? Can I please play? This is a... this is so old. This is from a long time ago.
Fine, this is from... Only if you say it was when I was six.
Actually, I think it's from when you were 10.
Okay, that's actually better.
So this is—I remember
it was like when I was 12 or 13.
This was like a screen-related tantrum.
You told me I couldn't have screen time for 2 weeks.
Why? Because you had done something naughty.
I'm not sure, honestly.
I mean,
presumably, it was,
if it was two—if it was 2 weeks, that would have been something pretty extreme.
Did I?
Oh, I think it was the time you murdered the dog.
That was it. No, did I like break something?
I don't know. I mean,
because I mean, I broke the bathroom mirror, but this was different.
This was, you know, I think it was longer ago. I think you were younger than 10, because the date in here is 2016, but I think that might be when I, anyway, I think you were younger, but I'm sure it was an overreaction, whatever it was, but screen time has historically been the only way I could get you. Like, it was the only way I could get you to take me seriously ever.
It still is.
It still basically is, yeah. Because it's the only thing you care about. Uh-huh. That and your monkeys, but I would never be cruel enough to, well.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Ooh, we gotta post pictures of the monkeys in the banana pod that Mom sent me.
That was pretty cute.
We gotta post pics, I think.
Uh-huh, okay, I will.
Okay.
But for now, listeners are dying to hear this. Anyway, this was when we were living in Salt Lake still.
No, it wasn't. This was in Jersey.
No, this was in Salt Lake, my love.
This definitely happened here in Jersey.
Oh, I know you've thrown tantrums here in New Jersey, but this one that I recorded is from Salt Lake, so you were younger. Even if it were, anyway, we can argue about when it was off mic, but even this date is before we were living in New Jersey.
Really? Wait, what is the date?
Don't worry about it. This is boring radio. Trust me. So you were throwing a fit, probably because I took away screen time, and you ran into your room and slammed the door and started, I don't know what you're doing inside, throwing things around or something. But let's see if the microphone picks this up. Okay. So this was the tantrum that you threw. I just had to pull out my phone and record it.
Stop.
Oh my God, I hate it.
This is so bad. Why did
it's picking up steam again. The water buffalo's coming out of the... Oh! Whoa! Sorry,
Hold on, wait.
Definitely, I will go back a few seconds, okay? Yeah, you were getting violent with shit.
No, yeah. There's a reason it ends right here, because then you're like, all right, that's it. You entered in.
Oh, like that was, I finally intervened. I was yeah. like, okay, he's breaking shit.
That was, I sounded like both a dying donkey and that kid who had their Xbox games read over by yeah, the parents'
that was,
truck.
That was fake. That was, that shit is staged. This was 100% real, baby. I mean, I don't know. I think there was always in your tantrums a bit of performance, a bit of melodrama. Woe is me.
It was the bi in me.
The bi?
Yeah.
Why?
Are instead bi's, of the gay in me.
Are bi's melodramatic?
No, because, like, gays are dramatic, but I'm bi, so I was just saying.
Well, you can't just substitute one for the other. So you can't just have all of
well, the... if my friends are going to practice bi erasure, I'm going to practice gay erasure.
Yeah, but that's not gay erasure. That's the opposite. That's, like, that's gay adoption.
That's, like, saying
which
there's
is
no
illegal,
reverse
probably
racism.
Illegal in some
that's,
states
it's
still.
That's, like... me trying to do gay erasure is like people trying to do reverse racism.
Yeah, it just doesn't exist.
Okay, fine.
Anyway.
All right, I concede defeat.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that tantrum. It's funny, speaking of thinking of just how awful it is to be a parent and how... speaking of parenting being the ultimate nightmare.
Wait, wait, wait. I didn't realize this was Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah. That... it's funny to think about how far we've come, not just because you've gotten older, but just because I've hopefully calmed down somewhat, and I don't really use... I mean, I don't really punish you anymore. You don't really do anything needing to, luckily.
You mostly just sort of, like, gaze patronizingly at me, and then I feel bad.
Yeah, I usually... I've found more devious and passive-aggressive and ultimately damaging ways
to
undercut you than just straight-out, like, saying you can't play video games for 2 weeks. But earlier this week, I was a guest speaker in a queer performance university course, and I was talking about like doing a podcast.
Wait, did you tell me about this?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Because I was a little late coming to get you.
That's right. That's right.
Because I talked a little too long. But
I was about to be like, why didn't you tell me?
There's no big deal. I mean, just people we guest speak in classes all the time, but and the professor said that they found it radical. This idea of queer parenting and just your and my dynamic queer parenting of a queer child and, you know, being able to talk about it publicly and things, they found it radical.
So we are special?
No, not special.
Dang it. Oh, it's we aren't special. It's our dynamic that's special.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. I could accept that.
Okay, cool.
But so that's all. I really just wanted to take this opportunity on the one hand,
make fun of
embarrass
me.
You, and on the other hand, pat myself on the back for my radical parenting. Wait a second.
I don't think
something does not add up.
I don't
up.
Think playing that clip worked out in the best for either of us.
That's all right. As long as you suffer, that's all that matters.
Wow. You heard it here. What is it called when no party ends up winning? It's the shade button. No, but
it's
the
zero sum. No, a lose lose.
No,
or you mean a zero sum game? No,
it's like a war term.
Oh, a Pyrrhic victory.
Pyrrhic victory.
Thank That's you. Not that. Well, yeah, I guess it means that. I guess you could say the both sides
lose. You win by destroying yourself.
You technically win, but are worse off. Yeah. Every day of my life is a fucking Pyrrhic victory,
and every day of my life is a victory.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
If you live in the greater New York area or have a good microphone and would like to share your story on Closet Practice, anonymously or not, message me on Twitter at DocumentaB, on Instagram at DocumentaBarbarism, online at DocumentaBarbarism.com, or by email to buttstuff@DocumentaBarbarism.com, with only one A in barbarism. That's DocumentaBarbarism. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe to House of Barbarism on your pod thingy of choice so you don't miss a single episode of Adventures in Gabysitting and Closet Practice every Monday, and Documenta and Son every Thursday. I did that once. I fell into a girl's butt going up the stairs between classes.
Wait, no, wait. That's how we come back from break, is you say that. Okay.
Well, I've already said it, so let's just keep going.
No.
What?
Oh, I understand.
Well, you mean just pretend like I'm for the first time playing?
Okay, no, no.
So this one time, I face planted into a girl's butt.
Documented Sun classic there. Put that in your quote books.
Everybody say butt. Everybody say butt. Now put that in your quote books, and I don't know what I'm doing.
Wow, you're making fun of my laugh.
You're making fun of my laugh now.
So we're talking today about.
So we're talking Bright today Light. About Bright Light Friday.
Okay, I'm going to quit the pod.
Hey, I am a radical parent, which means that everything I do must be right and must be radical.
You have a radical parenting dynamic.
Radical.
Math is rad.
Gnarly.
I did. The rock symbol instead doing. Of the rad
but,
symbol.
No, but shaking your wrist. I don't know. You're not doing anything.
That's a thing, right? You shake the side.
You shake. No, you can do hang loose.
Yeah,
pinky and thumb.
You rotate. You don't shake.
You don't like. you don't shake the devil horn. Actually, you were doing "I love you," not devil horn.
That's true. That's true.
You were shooting Spider-Man webs.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the? Way back in elementary school, there was the...
Probably.
There was the compulsive liar kid, right?
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that he told me that Spider-Man wasn't popular in Australia because the web-slinging hand was the Australian middle finger?
Whoa, that kid had an amazing imagination.
He also said that his dad was a genetic scientist and a developer on the Infinity Blade mobile game.
I hope that kid found a way to monetize his gifts, because he was clearly gifted.
I bet if I, like, look him up in the next few years, he will be a televangelist.
Yeah. Amazing. So, yes, today we are talking about the work of the one, the only, Rod Thomas. No, I knew I was going to get his name wrong. Damn it.
I was about to say, is that his real name?
Wait, no, I think it is. Shit, I knew I was going to do this. I told myself over and over... No, it is. It's Rod. Yes, it is Rod Thomas. I knew I was going
to
do that.
Good job. Stick to your gut.
Well, because I always think it's either Rob Thomas, who is the lead singer of Matchbox 20, but then there's also Rod Taylor, who is a classic Hollywood actor, who is the guy in The Birds.
Oh. Eventually, they're going to become Rob Taylor for you.
Regardless, yes, Rod Thomas is his name. But better known by his stage name, Bright Light, Bright Light.
Yes.
Do you know where that name comes from?
No.
It's from the Gremlins. Sorry, it's just from Gremlins.
What?
When he turns on the light and Gizmo goes, Bright Light, Bright Light.
No, wait. Is that seriously the inspiration for the name? Yo, I respect him so much more now.
Yeah, he is very informed by pop culture and films, especially of the 80s.
That's actually hilarious. It also makes a lot... it really makes it prudent that they included the girl gremlin quote in the girl, video.
In the video with animatronic, yeah, I know.
Exactly.
So he often goes by... His handle is often Bright Light times 2.
Yeah.
Just to, like, make it easier.
And also hip.
And people also say, like, bright lights a lot, just because they don't know, but... Anyway, Bright Light, Bright Light.
Yes.
Who I discovered a couple years ago. I think it was the video of I Used to Be Cool was the first time I became aware of his work.
That was the first one you shared with me as well.
Yeah, and that was in June of 2020. He was getting ready to release that album, Fun City, right as the pandemic hit.
Yeah, which is why the last two music videos are of lessening quality than the rest.
I was going to say lessening quality, just greater restriction.
That's a good way of putting it.
But yeah, you could tell that the video, there was that weird period where stuff was still coming out that was shot normally. Like even still, you know, you see movies and I still ask, wait, was this shot during the pandemic or before? And you can kind of tell, like in TV shows or movies a lot, often there will be, that were made during the pandemic, there's not a lot of extras in the background.
No, I rewatched Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the last season, and it's like so full of life, especially in the last season where there's an arc where they pack in as many extras as they can, because like the police commissioner is angry at them, to go to the next season where the entire office is completely empty.
Really?
Nothing happens. There is no one. It's just them standing around in a big empty space because all the desks have been moved away 6 feet away from each other with their masks up. And I'm like, this is not enjoyable.
They have masks on in the show?
They do often, like in enclosed spaces.
Oh, so they're acknowledging the pandemic. Yeah. Interesting.
And even when they don't, they'll like, if they're like walking in, they will like take off their mask and put it away.
Interesting. Yeah, so there's going to be, you know, when we look back in decades, there's going to be this weird aesthetic shift during these, hopefully just a couple of few years.
Yeah, hopefully.
When all of a sudden everything just started looking so different.
Yeah, but it will also be interesting to see like what pieces of culture and media directly reference and state, yes, this happened, this was filmed during this time, you know, or yeah, we'll just choose to ignore
hopefully
it.
Hopefully not many. there was never... I shouldn't say never. Again, there I go with my all or nothing thinking. But there was so little good 9/11 art or media after 9/11. It's ready already? Okay. Well, dinner's ready, so we're going to go eat some Swedish pancakes, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, so remember, we're talking about art, the pandemic.
Does anyone have a pen? Listener, if you have a pen and post-it note, write this down for us.
Okay, we'll be right back. Bye.
When we come back, yell it at your
Bye.
At your.
But
oh, you didn't give the audience a chance to scream what we were.
I just wanted to say that, like all musicians, he's had a harder time of it since COVID.
Yeah.
Because for the last 20 years, the primary form of income for musicians has been touring, been performing, and that was, of course, put on hold. And he is unsigned. He does not have a label. He says, no, he's never even been approached for one, despite, and I'll read off a list, he posts on, he's been doing these Motivation Mondays lately. Well, I don't know if that's a real thing. I know. But so he, despite being unsigned, well, he does have his own personal, like, boutique label.
Oh, cute.
Called Yes Queen.
Cute.
Spelled, I think it's spelled it YSKWN. Or something, or maybe YASKWN exclamation mark. Anyway, Yas Queen is just him. I mean, it's him. The whole, so he's, I saw him in an interview where he talks about how he's everything. He's a tour manager. He's all, he does it all himself.
What do they sell at the boutique?
A boutique label.
Oh,
I thought you were being funny. He does not have a boutique.
No, we were being funny. Continue.
What do they sell at the boutique?
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
I don't know if boutique label is even the correct term for it, but the point is, it's just his little independent operation.
Got it.
That he publishes stuff under.
Got it.
Yeah, so his Monday Motivation. So this is what he's been able to do. His first album came out 10 years ago.
Big work.
He's from Wales. Did you know he was Welsh?
Oh, really?
I don't know if we've ever talked about where he's from.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I am liking this guy more and more.
I know. You really should watch some interviews with him. But yeah, he's from...
He enjoys gremlins. He's from Wales. What's not to love?
He is from a little village near Neath, Wales, which is kind of east-ish. It's south, so we would have driven near it when we went from Tenby to Bath. That dark, dark day when we went to Bath. We're not going to get into it.
Could not find a parking space.
Oh, that was the... we're not going to get into it. But the point is, we would have driven by near it. So he's from a small town in Wales, but then he went to University at Warwick, and then he went to London for a while, and he was just a busker. Do you know what busking is?
No.
It's just musicians on the street or in tube stations. So
there's a term for it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he'd go play in tube stations on the street to make his living.
I call it street music men.
Okay, that's why no one's hired you to do marketing for them yet.
No buskers have hired me for marketing.
No, but he moved to New York at some point in the last decade, lives in the East Village, and he does has a weekly party at Club Cumming called Romy and Michelle's Saturday Tea Dance, I think it's called, because Romy and Michelle is his favorite movie. And Club Cumming, of course, is owned by Alan Cumming, who plays the billionaire, like the nerd who becomes a billionaire.
That's hilarious.
Takes them away in the helicopter. Anyway, so they're buds. And also, hilarious. It's just funny because his name is Cumming. So obviously, and I think that they're playing up that.
Yeah.
And that club is also in the East Village-ish. It's like Alphabet City, I think.
Yes. West Village.
Shut up.
Greenwich Village.
Shut up, you don't know what you're talking about.
Tribeca.
So, And this is, and he's released like, it's hard to tell exactly how much he's released because he puts out so much stuff. He puts out albums and remix albums and live albums, and like his latest album is a collection of singles that had also, some of which had also been released over the last decade. So he puts out a lot of shit because he has to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's the only way.
Yeah, but so this is what he lists as some of the things. This was his Motivation Monday recently. He is the only unsigned artist to perform on Graham Norton's BBC One TV show in its history. He was on it with Sir Elton John, which is probably the only way he was able to be on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was there. I'm pretty sure they were lip-syncing, but he was at least there performing.
Milli Vanilli, where are you at?
Yeah. He went on tour with Cher. He opened for Cher.
Work.
Uh-huh.
Opening for Cher, that's big.
He also toured with Elton John, Erasure, Ellie Goulding.
Yo, Erasure. Why have I not learned anything about this guy before?
Because I have to do all of the intellectual labor on the spot.
What is my problem? I'm loving this guy more
and
more.
He sings on one of the songs off of Fun City. Andy Bell is one of the guests from Erasure, is one of the guests on... On the one that's like, wow. I've been telling everybody about you, saying life was better without you, but it's clear. Anyway, Andy Bell sings on that.
That's amazing.
Much better than I would. And he's also toured with, did I say Scissor Sisters and John Grant and I don't know how to say that name, I don't know, I'm terrible. And he played a live show at Hyde Park that also included Grace Jones, Kylie Minogue, Years and Years, and Take That.
But oh, yes.
Elton John has appeared on four of his songs, his voice. Oh. He specifically says he's recorded his voice on four of my songs.
Oh, and then 17 of them have him playing piano. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the ones that
say featuring Elton John, I'm pretty sure are just piano, but I don't know if those count or whatever. He had a number one UK dance album in 2020, which features 12 LGBTQ plus artists from Caveboy to Andy Bell of Erasure to Justin Vivian Bond. Every one of his four studio albums has had collaborations from people he loves and came of age listening to. And he has worked with Elton John, Alan Cumming, Animatronic, Michael Kilgore, Jujubee, Scarlet Envy, Nicki and Donna.
Jujubee?
Yeah. There's a Jujubee remix of I Used to Be Cool that has some singing a verse on it.
Oh, yeah. I remember you showing me that.
Yeah. Nicki and Donna they're most well known for being Madonna's two backup singers during the, like, late 80s, early 90s. So like Girly Show, Blonde Ambition, like Vogue, they're the ones in the Vogue. Like they were when she was like, I've been saying like too much, when she was at the peak of her cultural power.
Yeah. I was about to say, did they do We Like the Cars That Go Boom?
Oh no, that was La Trim.
Oh, that's right.
But they are the female voices on This Was My House. Which I think we both agree is
his best.
Bright Lights, best song. Yeah. And we'll get into why in a little bit. Someone named Kay, who I don't know, the Illustrious Blacks. They are producers on, they're also on This Was My House. Mm. Big Dipper. You know Dipper, right? He does a rap. He has a verse on Fun City. Mark Gatiss, Justin Vivian Bond, Tia Coffey.
Oh, you remember?
He wrote Loving Me Like That.
And you can definitely tell.
Yeah. It's totally so a Bright Light song.
Even the video is like a Bright Light video.
Uh-huh. Initial Talk, Caveboy, Sam Sparrow, Andy Bell, Jake Shears, Brendan McLean, Katya. I'm surprised Del Marquis isn't on here. He's basically worked with all the... Yeah, he did a remix of Ravioli.
I need to hear this.
It's really good. It's kind of Giallo 80s like synthesizer, Giorgio Moroder style.
Play now. Ignore pod.
I don't want to get a copyright hit, but yes, we will afterwards.
DMCA.
Let's see what else he says. And then he just gives tips. Oh. Anyway, I mean, this bitch works. Like, he has made it work. It's not easy. You have to really want to do something.
No,
to be able to stick with it that long.
Yeah. I was about to say, you were looking through. If we keep going, I'll be listing names for five more minutes.
No, that was all that he listed.
Oh, okay.
But the point is, like, he is dedicated and he works at, you know, he talks about on social media and stuff, you know, he's not rich. He's able to live, it seems, pretty comfortably from what I can see, you know, in the East Village and not tiny apartment. So he's like doing okay. And that, you know, that's an impressive level to even be able to sustain by yourself. But what about the man, the artist, the songs, the music? Do you have a favorite song by him? I guess we've already said that.
We just said that, yeah.
Okay, I'll cut that shit out.
Let's. Okay, no, no, no. We can work this. What is your second favorite song?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. So I discovered him, like I said, in June of 2020 with I Used to Be Cool. I was like, what is this sexy video? Who is this person? I don't even know how I discovered it. Like, I don't know what led me to it.
Then, YouTube algorithm.
Yeah, it may have just been the algorithm. I don't know. But then I started devouring his music, especially Fun City, that album. I just was in love with the whole style, that pastel 80s, mm-hmm. you know, very much the tank tops and the short shorts and mm-hmm. the, you know, he's got his style and he rocks it. And he posts pictures all the time of himself. And I know that I get the feeling that he knows what he's doing because he's the angles he chooses. He's always wearing the tank tops and his little short shorts.
It does feel kind of bad that he's like boxed himself into an 80s corner now.
No, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, are you talking about kinky, sexy stuff?
Yeah, not kinky, but yeah, he posts thirst traps all the time.
Got it.
Because because he knows what he's got. And so, you know, why wouldn't he? And I think partly because he has to.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I think part of why he's able, let's be honest, part of why he's been able to be a success is because he's hot.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes,
he's definitely hot. You think he's attractive?
Scratch. Yes, very much so.
What? Why are you being weird?
No, okay, no. I just realized that the scratching yourself as a drug, as a high, it needs a high kind of thing. Like the
like a junkie?
Yeah.
So what are you saying?
Nope, we're cutting this out. I'm editing it.
Nope,
we're cutting it.
Nope, I'm not going to edit it out. I want to know what you're saying. Are you? You don't think he's hot?
No, I do.
Oh, you're just trying to be.
I was trying to be funny, and it made no sense. And now I want it to be removed from the equation.
This was my house, and I was not supposed to worry about it. Lights will ga ha ha ha.
You home.
Well, shit. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Anyway, so. It's not that he's boxed himself into a corner. It's like he knows his style and he knows how to work it, so he sticks with it. But I was interested because I find him so attractive to read that he has actually had a lot of body image issues, which is not that rare for a gay because gays are the worst. Yep. But he also he said that he has been shunned a lot because like he doesn't do drugs. He's not really, you know, he DJs a lot and he, you know, he loves to party and stuff, but he doesn't really do the club scene much. So it's interesting to hear that he feels ostracized from the gay community.
Yeah, that is
so someone that's as talented and as handsome as he is feels ostracized. Like what hope is there for the fucking rest of us? You know? So, I mean, it is what it is and it's unfortunate. You've never really listened to him outside of what I play around you or anything. I mean, I've played it a lot, so I feel like you know the songs from Fun City pretty well.
Yeah.
Just because I played them so much.
And his first album, because you listened to it a lot when Picking Me Up from
school. Yeah, I listened to all of his albums before, but for some reason I had some bias against them. But I've realized, I think his first album, Make Me Believe in Hope, which is turning 10 this year, maybe my favorite.
Wow, really? More than Fun City?
I think so, which is crazy, but I don't know. Like, it's got some kind of New Jack Swing, and it's got some disco, and it's got...
There's a song called Disco Moment.
There is a song called Disco Moment. Yes, there is. Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's all good. But I do sometimes struggle a bit with the earnestness, the sincerity. You and I were the gesture, which we need to come up with, yes, that involves you extend your arms... Pull them towards you while you jerk them back towards your chest. Throw your tits out and your head back. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Do it with us. Yeah.
Which he does a lot, and which is great. And I think the fact that I have a problem with his earnestness is more of a me problem than a him problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... It's, you know, it's one thing to say that someone's style is not for me or something, but... I don't think there's anything inherently aesthetically wrong with that, with his very, you know, the movements he does, it's easy to make fun of because it's so earnest.
Yeah.
But I think part of why I have trouble with it is because he's just so unabashedly himself.
Yeah.
He's so clearly comfortable with who he is, and you really have to be able to be so earnest and so you know those really dramatic oh Ow. That's why I don't do dramatic gestures, because I'm too big.
You just heard the podcast's first medical emergency happen live.
So there's those videos, like the one for, what was it? I knew I was going to start forgetting the titles, where he's on the roofs of Queens or whatever, and it's, the drones. And the.
It's the one that isn't Pretty New York.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was weird.
New York like, Pretty.
New York Pretty, yeah, like used the same
shots and scenes and locations and costumes.
Yeah, that was interesting. Hold on, but I do want to look it up. I do want to get it right. So
maybe the songs are similar thematically and musically.
Yeah, maybe it's like a set. Like how Madonna did You'll See and Take a Bow. It's like a continuation story between the two videos.
Oh.
Of course this isn't working. Why would it?
Have you tried turning it on and off again? I mean, off and on again.
I started watching that again today.
Watching what?
IT Crowd.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is it funny?
Yeah, it's still good.
No, I should watch it.
That one was for Into the Night, I think, right? Into the Night.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Yeah. That was, yes, very intense. A lot of... But what I ultimately love most about him and why I think he's been such an important... I would even say that I may go out on a limb and say that he has been the most important artist to me in the last 2 years since I came out.
Whoa.
Yeah. I may.
That I'm over here listening to soundtracks from a PlayStation 2 video game.
That's fine. That's your thing.
For months on repeat.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't need to talk about that. It's too depressing.
I will say... He is very talented, right? And I do think if I wasn't so obsessed with video games, I would. He is probably who I would have on repeat for months.
You think so? End.
Yeah.
Well, it's never too late.
Which is the highest compliment I can give to non-video game music.
It's never too late to grow up.
No, it's too late for me. I've already matured and grown past puberty.
I'm trying to think because the film artists that have been like Derek Jarman.
Yeah.
Pasolini, like had already been an important part. Yes, yeah, exactly. I think that's partly what it was. Like, I discovered him around the same time that I was coming out, but it was like during the pandemic, so I couldn't go anywhere. Like, all I had to access, really, as far as gay culture of any sort, was either through like TV, film, or music.
Yeah.
You know,
or TikTok, but we don't talk about TikTok.
But I don't use TikTok. But, yeah, so I think I might go out on a limb and say that. And I think it's just because he is so – and this is also why I wanted to talk about him this week, because there's a direct continuation, I think, from last week when we were talking about Bronski Beat.
Yeah.
They're on – in fact, I found this quote that I wanted to read because I think you can definitely clearly see them on the same continuum.
Oh, absolutely.
This is what he says – so this is after he moved to New York.
Cool.
He said, it inspired me to write an album based on the feeling of being an LGBTQ person in a city. So this is talking about Fun City, I believe.
Got it.
And what it's like to have so much opportunity and so many exciting things, but also know that there's just so much danger for us still. So it's an album that celebrates who we are, who you are, what you love, and how you love, but also is kind of aware of, like, it's still not the norm. We still aren't really accepted. We're kind of like the people scuttling around in the sewers, but the sewers are neon and fabulous. And I think that's what This Was My House is very much, is very that. It's very that. It's that, it's very neon, very fabulous, but it's also about the danger.
Yeah, and they spend a lot of time in subway tunnels, which aren't sewers, but they are dirty and unkempt. And
that's true. Then it continues, when we were growing up, I'm sure we had the same, he's talking to Jake Shear. So when he was growing up, basically... his touchstones from his teens and his 20s, he says, there weren't enough role models for us who were people doing music, acting, dancing, whatever. When I was growing up, the people I knew were gay were like Elton John, Andy Bell, K.D. Lang, Pet Shop Boys,
Woo.
Bronski Beat.
Woo.
And I didn't feel like any of them. I didn't feel like I looked like any of them. I didn't feel like I could relate to them because they were these fantastical, flamboyant beings who seemed to have come from a completely different planet. Which is so interesting to me. Because I don't think Jimmy Somerville... is particularly glamorous, you know?
No.
He's a little funny looking.
Wow. I mean, it's true. Like, in the West End Girls video, he spends the whole time in a black trench coat and black lip.
That's Neil Tennant. Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, right.
Jimmy Somerville, remember? We just talked about him on the last episode.
Right. Yeah. But he wears like lumberjack button ups.
yeah, exactly.
He wears, like, flannel.
He's dressed like a chav. What?
It's just funny to hear you say chav.
Do you know what a chav is?
not exclusively.
It's a young person of a type characterized by brash and loudish behavior, usually with connotations of low social status.
Oh, so it's a Chad without the benefits of being a Chad.
No, it was way before Chad's. Anyway, but the point being that it's interesting that he saw those people and feel like he couldn't connect to them. Like, Elton John, I get it. He's, like, on another planet. And, you know, Neil Tennant, people like that. But it's interesting because it's just so crazy to me anytime I hear someone like this. I guess I'm just repeating what I already said. I just don't – it's amazing to me that someone so beautiful and so talented can also feel this way.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't anymore. I don't know. Because when I watch the video for This Was My House, I just see confidence and joy.
And peak telephones.
Yeah. And I think this is what I was trying to say earlier, and then you made a dumb joke, and I lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry.
You should be, because I take it personally.
Okay. Whoa.
Is that it's not just that he is so proud and unabashed about being gay. It's that when I watch his videos, when I listen to his music, I feel the joy, just the utter, absolute pleasure of being gay.
Yeah.
It's more than just like a kumbaya, everything is great thing. It's an actual embodied thrill and embodied joy. Like watching that video for Into the Night, even though it's so cheesy and a bit over the top and far too much drone work. Like, can we just put a moratorium on drones in music videos?
It's just
desserts.
No, to defend it, that was like right when drones in music videos.
I know, it was 2017. Yeah, it's not, I got 20, it. Blah, blah, blah.
2022.
But then when at the parts where he's with the person playing his boyfriend, who you asked me if he has a boyfriend.
Yeah, does he have an IRL boyfriend?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
CB.
That's illegal.
Oh!
But he is, because he never, if he does, he never posts a picture of him. Mm. But he does post pictures of his cat all the time. He's a cat dad. He adopted a cat last fall. He's got this bubble that he carries him around when he goes out sometimes. That he wears on the front, like a baby Bjorn, but in the front.
And it's just like a big old bubble? Uh-huh. Okay, I kind of want to see that. That sounds very attractive.
He's a very proud cat dad. His cat has an Instagram. He has an Instagram account. He must manage like 5 different Instagram accounts. Because there's also one for the Romy and Michelle Saturday Tea Dance. Mm. He has an Instagram account for his media. Just like pictures of like his records and movies and stuff.
Is he able to for his Twitch?
No, I mean he has the Twitch account that he broadcasts the weekly things on Saturdays from 4 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. The Romy and Michelle. And then he also has Twitter and Facebook. Like,
yikes.
Like he literally has to do all this shit himself, but yikes. That's just the reality.
I think This Is My House works on a lot of levels because the my house can have a lot of different connotations. Like, initially when I first heard it, I was like, his actual house. And it was like about his relationship with a person, right? Because he sings like, you made it bad, right?
Oh, so like it was, okay, yes, okay.
And then like the second time I heard it, I was like, oh, it could be like a drag house, and that's like why there's also a lot of voguing in it, right? So it could be about like the growth and change of drag to maybe something that he doesn't enjoy or appreciate. I don't know.
That's definitely a reach, but I can see the drag connotations, I think, are there. Don't read too far into it, but there is a drag house meaning, yeah.
Yeah. Then the third time I heard it, this is the most reaching. House means the gay community.
No, that's not the most reaching. I think it's true. Because he's spoken about how it's also about how we're losing safe spaces.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like about, and it also calls maybe to how, what you were talking about how he still felt shamed for his perfect, luscious body in the gay community. And so he's talking about like, you made this unsafe. You made the gay community
also within so he could be talking about within the community itself.
Yeah, like him feeling in this place. This was meant to be my house.
Yeah.
But now I feel better sitting out in the damn rain.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
I feel like they could all kind of reach.
Well, that's the thing is when we're talking about different meanings, we don't have to assign a layer of symbolism to each single one, you know, like it just whatever these whatever connotations it has, whatever it makes you recall or think of is fine, is valid. Yeah.
But also, according to David Lynch, all interpretations are correct.
Yeah, that's true. What does he know?
It's not like he does transcendental meditation or anything.
Only cool dudes do transcendental meditation. So, yeah, and the video is so joyous and so wonderful. Good. It celebrates that community. It's got that great, like, playground equipment choreography.
Uh-huh. They're playing basketball with a disco ball. Like, what's not to love?
And then just the scenes in the club are so delightful, so joyous.
I thought it was, like, an apartment.
What do you mean? When they're all dancing and stuff?
Yeah, because
no, it's like a small club space. There's no way they could have all
fit. I thought there was, like, a balcony that we could see.
No, it's, like, it's a club. Oh, it's implied to be a club.
I mean, yeah. I thought it was an apartment club or a kiki or something.
You're a kiki or something. Because
we should have a kiki.
Yeah.
Lock the doors tight.
And why the song is so brilliant on a songwriting level, too, because it... Most of the first half of the verse and most of the chorus is all offbeat. It's all, so it's syncopated, but none of the notes land directly on the beat. So in the chorus, he says, you know, this was my house and I was not supposed to worry about it. So it's all on the 2 and 4 of each beat of the 16th notes and never lands on the beat. Then this was my house and I was not supposed to. And then the first word that lands on a beat is fear. So it's so brilliant because up to then it's just been that sort of staccato, like da 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 da, and syncopate it. But then you really sit up and take notice on fear that I was not supposed to fear, and that's also when the other voices come in too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it works on that level, but mostly it just fucking rips.
Yeah.
It's just so I can't not dance to it. You know, you can't not move to it. And I think he also excels at, I call them either sad songs you can dance to or dance songs you can cry with, or like cry to, you know?
Yeah.
He does a great sad dance song, I think. Okay, I could say what I think his second best song is, my second favorite at least, is In the Arms of Another.
In the Arms of Another.
Yeah. There's a few times where I've actually cried at a pop song. And that was one of them. Whoa. I actually cried at that song. Yeah. I was probably just like super emotional anyway. Like,
yeah.
I cry a lot now, but this was like a long time ago, like shortly after it initially came out.
I haven't cried since the Homebody interview. All right. He just punched me and it made me feel unwanted. No. No, stop. 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 No, 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 no. We are not getting flesh bruising ASMR pods today.
Are you crying yet?
Are you crying yet? Are you crying yet? Okay, we're going to move away from this because it got kind of sussy and weird.
Yeah, well, I cry all the time. And anyway, so it's just really beautiful. He has either had his heart broken so many times or had his heart broken really deeply by like one dude that he's never gotten over.
Yeah, I see that.
That's kind of the two modes. He's got the heartbroken mode. And I guess you could say that of all pop music. He's got the heartbroken and then he's got he's got three modes. He's got heartbroken. He's got the like celebratory into the night. Like,
yeah, let's the go. Anthem.
Gaze. We'll call them his anthems. And then he can also do silly too.
He does silly sometimes, like That did not do the melody at all.
Nope. I mean, I think I Used to Be Cool is silly.
Yeah.
And the video certainly is. I mean, it's hot, but it's pretty silly and goofy too.
You can kind of see D in that.
Kind of you see D, what, like dick?
Yeah, like with the dudes in the pool.
You don't really see anything. It's on you.
If you pause it at the right moment.
Stop it, you cannot. Trust me, I've tried.
Pause goes the VCR.
Yeah. No, he does silly, but and one thing that's interesting, I should stop leaning back. I forget we're actually like recording this. One thing that he doesn't, like, he talks a lot about passion and obliquely, indirectly about sex, talks a lot about touch, things like that. He doesn't really do what I find a lot of gay famous or, you know, artists that speak directly to gay or queer audiences do, which is get explicit about sex. Mm-hmm. He never talks, you never hear him talking about dicks or anything like that. Big Dipper does kind of on his verse a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, not as much as he does in his own songs.
Yeah. Is Big Dipper gay?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
The guy who produces Race Chasers?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I was thinking of someone else.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who was I thinking of?
I don't know. But yeah, Dipper is gay. And yeah, he's like a gay rapstress.
Oh, cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But he saves a lot of the eroticism though for the videos. There are a lot, yeah, you know, a lot of man flesh.
Uh-huh. And a lot of him sweating at man flesh.
Yeah.
And having to pour water on himself and
yeah.
And like take the ice cubes, all that jazz.
But that one video, we still are not sure if the two dudes are whacking it or just dreaming about each other. Well, that was for Move, right?
Yeah.
Moving on's the hardest
it's definitely thing that one
to do. So it's these two dancers.
Uh-huh. Surprisingly, Rod himself isn't in either. Or is it Eddie?
He's not a dancer.
Yeah.
We'll talk about his dancing in a second.
It's about, like, the story of the video is two dancers who used to love each other, just kind of, like, hinted at in the song itself, but they kind of separated away, so they're sleeping.
You're assuming a lot here.
I am.
All we see is two people in bed,
dreaming separate of each beds, other.
But yeah, it's not even clear that it's two separate people for a while.
No, yeah, it's kind of like the cinematography is kind of used to blur that.
Yeah, well, the cinematography is like going all over the bodies and stuff. But okay, all we know from the video is that a couple of guys are in separate beds, different beds,
yeah,
and there are also dancing scenes.
They are the dancers, though. They're the same
people. But that's all we know. Like, that's what happens in the pro filmic space is that.
Well, yeah, there's a dream sequence in which the two people are
right,
together.
But
that's all it is.
Even that is an assumption.
Like, no, because we see the both in shots. We see both of the
dancers. Yeah, but we don't know if it's a dream sequence. You don't know if it's a memory. Anyway, what I like about it, and what I like a great quality about a lot of his videos, is that there is that ambiguity, so it's unsure. All of these assumptions we're making are assumptions. We're assuming, but what's not clear, well, what seems pretty clear to me, is that they're whacking it. But it also could be that they're just, like, dreaming.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, like, their eyes are closed for the whole thing, and then when they open them, that dream cuts out. It's a dream, right? Because they wake up.
It's implied that it's a dream, yes, but you see what I'm saying, that it's ambiguous. You can't say any of that for sure.
I know it for sure. It's a dream.
But this is the power of montage, you see. But I'm actually a little taken aback that you're so strenuously sticking to this one specific interpretation.
Yes, because like David Lynch says, only one interpretation is correct, and it's mine.
Quit bending the master's words. You cannot understand David Lynch. You'll never understand David Lynch.
I mean, there's only one correct interpretation of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, well, they've already cracked that.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, the point being that the camera often worships male bodies. It, you know, is very, in that it is unambiguous.
Yeah.
Of the primacy and beauty of the male form. More so now, I mean, there used to be, it's hard to know what he does now just because of the pandemic. He hasn't been able to do as much, but there used to be a lot more women in his videos too. It wasn't all so specifically gay necessarily. But, I mean, he's very, it's just not to say he's ever been anything less than openly, loudly proud and out and queer. Let's talk about his dancing. As he admits in interviews, he's not a dancer.
Yeah.
He's got no choreographic training.
Yep.
And it's adorkable.
It's so cutie.
But that's also what I love, too, is he's so just, you know, just fearless about, maybe he thinks he looks amazing. I kind of think he has to know, in like the silly dancey ones, or even the less silly ones that are still like joyous. I think he knows. The what?
The balloon one.
The balloon one. That was so good.
So fun. Because like, he's
But okay. He doesn't dance in that one.
He doesn't dance it. He just stands in it. But I just want to talk about how funny it is that they connect him to a balloon because he holds it, or he holds it in front of his face. Then they show sharp objects. And then we cut to a balloon being popped. And it was just funny because it was like standard sharp stuff. There was like scissors, a knife, a cactus. And then all of a sudden, they just flash a crab real quick.
The crab was like, fun.
And I was like, the best way to get rid of all the balloons in your house, just take your pet crab and let him loose.
Yeah. And he even had a little eye makeup in that one. That was fun. He did.
And it changed colors, too.
That was for A New Word to Say from Make Me Believe in Hope.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, Rod, if you're listening, you should play around with the makeup a little more.
We've
you look good. Yeah. We like that. I think it would be fun to see.
Yeah, work it.
Yeah. But his dancing is... he's not a dancer by his own admission, but that doesn't matter. Because he really embodies this notion of dance like nobody's watching, you know?
Yes.
True. His gayness, his passion is embodied. You know, you can tell that it is not divorced from the physical, which is not to say it's not intellectual as well. He loves clever wordplay.
Yeah.
Like he's got, even like in his titles, George Michael had a famous song called Careless Whisper. He's got a song called Careful Whisper. So he's always playing on other titles, even on his own titles. Like he has an album called Life is Easy. The live version is called Live is Easy, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, so I guess I've been too gushy. I didn't want to just be gushy.
But you were like, I gotta find something that's like not perfect. Okay, he's dancing. Yeah, okay, we'll talk about how epic that makes. No! I think all of our praise is justified.
Yeah.
He's really good at what he does.
We don't have to make him out to be anything more than he is. I mean, he's just a dude making music that has spoken to us in specific ways, and that's fine. That's enough. Like, he's not the gay messiah, you know? He is still just Rod
Thomas.
Yes, that is right. Rod Thomas.
Yes.
From Neath Wales, you know? But I just appreciate that he is out there making music. And I also was thinking how it's crazy that his album came out 10 years ago, which is about when I started going back to school. And in the time that he's put out this incredible body of work, I've
started a podcast. Look on the bright side. Started a podcast.
I've been doing an educational track that is not even going to end up where I thought it was going to.
Started a podcast.
So try not to feel bad about myself. More just follow his example and just be dedicated, work hard.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of great can come out of your, like, for you, just like through your actions, if you read a lot more of his Motivational Monday posts.
Anything else you want to say about Bright Light, Bright Light?
If you guys have the chance, absolutely listen to his music. He's available on Spotify and YouTube.
He's not paying us, you know.
That doesn't matter.
I think people know where to find music. As we said,
he's the gay messiah.
Oh, my Lord.
Was there one song that you were particularly just like, no, this isn't my moment
anymore? Oh, yeah, there definitely. He definitely has several songs that I just, that are not that, that I'm not into. Mm-hmm. I didn't like a ton of the stuff from, not a ton, but there were a few I didn't like on the latest collection, So Gay, So Dramatic. But it did also have In the Arms of Another.
Oh.
So one of his highest highs. But yeah, absolutely. There's not a single artist, even all of my favorites, there's not a single artist who I'm just like, every single song is amazing. And there's a couple, I think his middle albums don't hold as much interest for me, but I also haven't dug into them as much as I have the first and more of the latest stuff that's been coming out.
Yeah.
So it's just more to discover.
Exactly.
All right. Well, this has been the Bright Light Celebration Hour.
Yes. Come. You can mail P.O. Box 11111 to join the Bright Light fan club.
I feel like we've been doing that episode, the infamous season 11 episode where they do the churches for the diva churches.
Yes.
For Mariah and Brittany. Brittany, right? Wasn't it dealing for Brittany? Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. And it was the Mariah team that knew nothing about Mariah, yeah, right?
They all ended up lip syncing. Oh, and he loves Drag Race. He's always talking about Drag Race, too.
Yeah, in one of the videos, a person just keeps writing Drag Race.
A person? Animatronic of Scissor Sisters.
In terms of the video story, a person.
Yeah.
But animatronic.
Anyway, we kind of dig Bright Light, in case you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, give him the clicks, give him the listens. He's out there doing it on his own. Hopefully he never does get signed. I mean, unless he really wants to, in which case I would never, you know, wish that again. But
also, we also hope that if he does get signed, this doesn't hamper his creative and artistic process and talents.
Mostly, you know, he's losing his hair so fast.
So fast.
I just need someone to take care of him so he can keep some hair.
It is hilarious. We watched some of the early videos from like 10 years ago, some of the more recent ones. He's absolutely balding.
Yeah. That's what happens. That's aging.
Yeah.
But, you know, He's kept it a lot longer than I have. Probably because he never had a kid.
Wow. Thanks for that.
But he's got a cat now, so maybe that'll...
Yeah, yeah. I hope the cat's cute. I'm going to go see if I can find pictures of his cat.
It is, yeah. Well, I'll show you his Instagram account.
Okay, go.
All right, well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Join us on next Monday for an all-new Adventures in Gamesitting.
Ooh, lele.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.
You won't believe it, but I used to be cool.
That really speaks to me, that song in particular.
You've never been cool, bitch.
Wow.
This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism, your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember, there is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a documenta barbarism. Mwah.